and our Nine Lives hotline. How many do you have left? 818-817-0021. And again, we'll have a live program for you on Thanksgiving night for all of you, but especially those of you who just happen to be alone. Maybe your family is out of state. Maybe you are all alone. Well, don't worry. You've got your Coast to Coast family, and we'll be here for you tomorrow night with a special interview about the Hollow Earth, by the way. Speaking of Thanksgiving, do people still dive for that wishbone? You know, that huge bone in the turkey right after the thing has been eaten up. I think they still do, but I wonder who's ever made a wish on that thing. Mine never came true. I make my own wishes come true. I don't need a wishbone to do that. We'll be back in a moment. We'll take your phone calls on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, I've got a bet with Danny, my engineer, back in Los Angeles. I'm trying to figure out the name of that movie where the father gave his son a model air rifle for Christmas. Remember that? It was the cute kid with the glasses. And he kept saying, be careful, you'll shoot out your eye. And Danny says it's called A Christmas Story. Well, isn't that the name of the Scrooge, the Charles Dickens classic? It's Christmas Story, isn't it? Same thing? It can't be the same. Well, if you know, fast blast me. Because that's one of those things, if I don't find out, I'll go crazy. Let's go to the phones. East of the Rockies, you're on Coast to Coast. Welcome to the program. Hi there.
George.
Yes, sir. Hi.
All right. You're the man. Hey, first-time caller here. And well, first-time dialing, so I guess appropriately I'm on the Nine Lives topic.
And you must tell us where you're calling from.
Oh, I'm sorry. Kurt from Kansas City.
Okay.
I'm a rookie on this, so...
That's okay.
I told your... Greener, if I was minus 5 or minus 10, I don't know.
Are you listening on KCMO out there?
That's it.
That's our number one station.
Well, I listened to a couple things on there, but you're the show I've been listening to for about two years.
It's a good station. They've got good people there.
Oh, I guess I should. I'll go through a few. I guess. Let me see. I fought a guy with a knife. Had a gun held on me. Had one pit bull charge me. I believe two different Dobies at different times. I was in the 89 earthquake at about 5 miles from the epicenter. I dodged the, I don't know if it's a pileup, but nobody else came out behind me on the freeway. A car was just sideways going.
Oh, my
50.
God. How many have you used up?
Well, like I said, that's like three of like half the page, three quarters of the page. It just goes
on and on. Yeah.
I was electrocuted. I drank drain cleaner. And both those times, I don't even remember going to the hospital.
Now, you know, you only get 9 no matter what. So if you've gone close to that, you need to be very careful.
I don't do dangerous things anymore. I've almost been hit by 2 trains, crushed by 2 semis at once. I was chased by gang members. The last thing that happened, I'm trying to think. I was knocked out in a fight when I had a .357 on me.
Oh, my God.
And I think there's like some destiny or something. I'm trying to figure it out.
Of all these things that have occurred to you, all these lives that might have been taken away, which is the one that you thought you really were a goner?
That's pretty rough. I guess it was the earthquake.
That must have been scary for you, huh?
I turned around and the ground was like I could have surfed on it. I knew it was going to open up and just swallow me.
What kind of a feeling is that? You have no control over anything.
Well, I actually was okay. I had a woman sobbing on me and crying, and I was doing everything I could not to throw her off of me and run and hug a tree. I couldn't
you
do it.
You tree hugger.
I couldn't. I know. I couldn't do it. I couldn't let her down, but...
Well, now, just take it easy. I've counted, just with some of the things you've said, and now I'm guessing on a few more. I think you've used up like 8.
I don't know. I have more, but, you got a show to run.
You got it. Okay, thanks, buddy.
Hey, thanks. Bye.
All right, take care. Have a good Thanksgiving. So Dan is right, I think, about the "all you'll shoot out your eye." That is called A Christmas Story. You're right there, Danny, but no dinner for you because the other one is called A Christmas Carol, and I should have known that. You tried to trick me. That's the one with Scrooge and his buddy Jacob Marley. So let's go to our Nine Lives line again. Boy, they're all coming in. You're on Coast to Coast. Welcome to the program. Hi there.
George?
Yes, sir. Welcome to the show.
Hi, this is Kurt. I'm a truck driver also. I'm like on I-40, just about 60 miles from Barstow, California.
Okay. How many lives have you used up, Kurt?
I think I used at least one when I was in the Marine Corps in 1983. I drove over a cliff on a motorcycle.
Oh, how far was the jump?
Well, I went out about 30 feet, and I went down about 20 feet. And when I got up off of the ground, I crawled down to the San Juan Creek, which is like a couple feet, and then I climbed up the hill and flagged somebody down. But when I went out there after that, we looked out there, and there's a chain link fence about 6 feet tall, about at least 20 feet out from the edge of the cliff with the barbed wire on top.
Oh.
So it just made me think, you know, what could happen if I had actually hit that.
Man, what a lucky camper you are.
Oh, yeah. And then to make things worse, I had a friend on the back of the bike.
Oh, my God. What happened to him?
He broke four toes and bruised his side. And I actually broke three toes.
Well, let me tell you, both of you are very lucky to be alive.
Oh, yeah.
And what happened to the bike?
It was pretty much totaled. The engine still ran. That's about it. No,
how come it didn't explode?
I don't know.
Well, you're pretty lucky there.
I think just the way it went down.
Well, and you guys obviously landed on your feet because you broke all your toes. Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Let's go to, Tommy's telling me in my ear, it's Danion Brinkley. Hi, Danion. Happy Thanksgiving.
Hey, George. Happy Thanksgiving to you.
Thank you. I'd
like to report that I have used up three lives.
Yeah, you sure have.
You know, struck by lightning twice. That's four lives. Open heart surgery and brain surgery. And since that I get to do my real show sometime soon, I'd like to report on Thanksgiving to the family, the we who live in the night, what has happened since we went on the air for the, I think it was our fifth year, George, to reach out to veterans. You ready?
Yep.
243,000 hits on the website. Tens of thousands of Christmas cards going to men and women in active duty. The ladies auxiliary can't even count them.
That's fantastic.
We will probably hit 40,000. Now, if there was a night that we could look at in open line, that we of the night, we can come off of Mars, you know, as they say who we are, everybody has an opinion about who we are. That if we can come down from Mars and we can touch the Earth and we can mail 30 to 40,000 Christmas cards that goes to those veterans in combat zones that they can spend a part of Christmas by sending these cards home. And we got the government to pay for the stamps, so there were no stamps. That's a night to truly give thanks to each other. George, you'll never know the pride I have in being able to report every year like we do, started by Art because his mom and dad were in the Marine Corps, followed by you, Naval Reserve, and how much Coast to Coast means. The amount of information that had poured into these websites, to my websites, Danion.com, and they can still take Christmas cards if people want to send them. The thrill that the ladies auxiliary of the VFW had, they couldn't handle the shipping.
They probably had no idea going to jump on them.
They had no idea. And the excitement that you get to hear from them and that they are making an impact. The VFW, the Veterans of Foreign Wars, the oldest veterans program in America, 109 years old. And these are the ladies who stay on long after their husbands are gone, and when their husband's here, and keep serving the veteran. Their impact in this Thanksgiving, it is an absolute thrill to report back, sir, Commander-in-Chief George Norrie, sitting in St. Louis. It is a thrill to report. Not only is this a great program, not only does it explore every spiritual, mental, emotional dimension, extraterrestrial, interterrestrial, and just basic concepts, it delivered 240,000 hits, tens of thousands, and I'll brag a little bit, orders for over 1,000 of my books.
Excellent.
That's results, George. That's results from Premier Radio. That's results from you, Tom, and your staff. So on this Thanksgiving, let me thank you, Premier, Tom, Stephanie, Lisa, and the entire, and Lex, the entire staff that helps me in my endeavor to prove that there is life after death. I know next Tuesday you have Gary Schwartz, that there's not only a life after death, but it inspired me to create the life that we have here. So to all of the family that we call those who live in the night, the Coast to Coast family, I thank them for making Thanksgiving for me, my family, but people who listen and depend on us for their support, that they'll send their Christmas cards home. And the Veterans Administration, which is Jim Nicholson, who is so supportive, and the Ladies Auxiliary of the Veterans of Foreign Wars, that their value of what they are capable of doing to help and support the families of veterans and people serving on active duty, we made one hell of a difference. And I need to be able to say, hey, George, you know, I listen. I'm an avid listener. Thanks.
And that's what we're here for, my friend.
Yeah, this is what makes the difference. We are the woo-woo fringe branch of America, quote unquote. But we have made the greatest difference and the greatest impact in serving from, like I said once again, we left Mars, we came back to Earth, and we delivered. I do not know what other organization, radio show, from all our competition to those who think they're somebody that can make that kind of impact and that kind of difference. I'll bet you that your chief competitor, as well as those who are a little more powerful, quote unquote, than you, the Rush Limbaughs, they couldn't have done it, but we did it.
Thanks, Daniel.
Hey, man, thank you. They keep calling me. They don't call you. They call me with tears in their eyes. They write me, and I get to sit a chance, and, you know, I'm listening to call in just like every other diehard loyalist to Coast, but they need to know that they are appreciated, and I thank them. You know, they could send a few more Christmas cards. They don't know what to do with them. They have no place to place them. They're stacked everywhere in Kansas City. They can't get over it, but hell, let's send them a few more.
You want to jam them up for next year, don't you?
Hey, you know what? They love us. So for this night in Open Line, thank you, everybody. Thank you, George and Tom. Thank you, Lisa and Stephanie. Thank you, Premier. But more importantly, thank you, those of Coast to Coast, we who live in the night. We can come back to Earth, and we can make a difference.
That's Daniel Brinkley, everybody. And I'm glad that's working. I really am. You know, he came on a few weeks ago and on Veterans Day, the night of, and just asked that all of us send Christmas cards by clicking through to the Ladies Auxiliary. And you delivered. And that's a great way to report back to us, Daniel. Thanks again. Let's go to our East of the Rockies line. Welcome to Coast. You're on the air. Hi there.
Hello.
Yes.
First off, happy Thanksgiving.
Well, thank you.
This is my first time calling, and this is actually my first time listening, too.
Now, how did you stumble into us?
My husband told me about it. He listened to you on the XM, and he said, you've got to hear this show, because I'm all into the ghost and watching the cams on the Internet. And he said, you got to listen.
Good man.
Well, about the nine lives, I think I've used two of mine. When I was a teenager, I was in a wreck, and I, of course, was in shock and don't remember any of it. But someone told me that they saw someone get out of a minivan and run, but there was no one else in the minivan with me. So I've always thought, hey, got a guardian angel.
Absolutely.
But then in April, my two children and I went through an F4 tornado, and we made it out maybe a minute before the tornado hit and ripped apart our house. So I guess I've used two of my nine lives.
What's it like to be in a tornado of that magnitude?
Well, you know how everyone says it sounds like a train or an airplane taking off? It doesn't. That's a lie. It got deadly silent. My ears popped. I looked up, and the roof was ripped off above our head, and then poof, it was over.
Man.
And everybody says, well, weren't you scared? No, I didn't have time to be scared.
You know, I live in Tornado Alley in the Midwest, and I have, other than in my dreams, I've never seen a tornado, and I hope to God I never do.
I did not see this one. I did not see it, and I'm kind of glad that I didn't. But it was something.
They say that these things are so strong that they can toss a straw, shoot it right through the trunk of a tree, stick it in there just like a knife. Let's go to our wild card line. You're on Coast to Coast. Welcome to the program. Hi there.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
My name is Paul from Pensacola, Florida.
Hi, Paul. What's on your mind?
Yes, and I didn't try to call in last night, but I couldn't get in. And I was going to ask, do you believe that the Kennedy family, such as Jackie Onassis or Ted Kennedy, ever knew actually what happened to John? And if so, was it early on or was it later?
I think, Paul, they probably found out later on what happened. I truly believe that. You know, I interviewed last year a woman by the name of January Jones. She has a theory that Aristotle Onassis was behind it because he wanted Jackie all to himself. Interesting theory. You know, I don't think you can throw out any of them. And as you listen to our guests during the 9/11 discussion, all of them have similarities to different theories, which tells me that there's got to be something there in terms of a conspiracy as opposed to a lone gunman, and I really believe that. But again, to answer your question, I think they found out what happened, but they probably found out later. Bobby Kennedy, on the other hand, I think knew pretty darn into it what happened and who might have done it. I think he kept it a secret. And there were a number of reasons why he decided to do that as well. If you need to email me, well, I'll make that simple. It's george@coasttoam.com. Just to send it to us. And again, and I've said this many times, but I'll say it again, we're going to have a live program for you on Thanksgiving night. So make sure you're part of that program as well. And it's about the hollow earth. I'll probably have open lines out during the first hour. I'll be back in a moment. Open lines continue on Coast to Coast AM. Well, Mario from Denver writes, George, in a past life, you died on November 11th at the hour of 11:11. That's why you see those numbers all the time. That's very weird. Back in a moment. Isn't that an incredible story about Hugo Chavez of Venezuela giving Massachusetts heating oil at a 40% discount when the major oil companies won't even budge at all? They keep gouging, and here's a guy running a country that supplies us a lot of oil, of course, but the person that we have cited for all kinds of things and atrocities trying to help out a state. Now, I don't know if that's politically motivated or not, but at least you got to give him credit for one thing, at least, and that is he is giving it to a state in this country at a 40% discount when people who can ill afford it in Massachusetts, and I've lived there before, are getting a significant discount. And this is primarily going to go to people who can't afford heating fuel. Natural gas prices in the Midwest, they say, will jump 30 or 40% this year if we have a cold winter. So a lot of people here can't afford it. I know a lot of people who are on fixed incomes, and I mean, they're just petrified that their fuel costs and heating costs are just going to go out of sight. I think it's a great gesture, and I think that's something that this guy should be thanked for, to provide it to Massachusetts at a 40% discount. I think other states should jump on the bandwagon, quite frankly, and cut their own deals and quit relying on the federal government to do all that, because they're obviously not. Wildcard Line, welcome to the show. You're on the air. Hi there.
Hi. This is Ardina from Paso Robles, California.
What's your name?
Ardina.
Ardina?
Yes.
That's right. Have I heard your name before?
Yes, I called you an artist.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. I remember that name now.
Well, I have a Nine Lives story.
How many have you used?
Well, two, I think. One, an elderly gentleman ran me off the road at 65 miles an hour and didn't even know. But anyway, the one
he just kept going, right? Kept going.
Highway 101. My story is about years ago. I was 18 years old, and I was driving a 1939 Ford, and I was tooling along in the middle of the night, pitch, pitch dark in Nebraska on a one-lane each-way highway.
Yeah.
And I was transporting a car for a friend. And I was just tooling along, having a wonderful time all by myself. Not a light anywhere to be seen, and suddenly, ahead of me, not that far, headlights came on, right in, facing me in the highway, just stationary. I just jammed on the brake. I even forgot to put on the clutch, and I jammed on the brake, and I just froze, and the car just is fishtailing, I mean, closer, 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 and then it finally stopped about 10 feet away, and I was just frozen, and the car was, and I had killed the engine. I couldn't even drive away. And there was a car there with all this, their radiator had burst, and it was water all over the highway.
Oh.
The doors opened, and four men came out, one out of each door, and they started to run towards me. And just then, out of the blue, must have been my guardian angel, a truck came along the highway behind me, and he started to brake and honk. And these four guys stopped, turned, jumped back in their car. And the car was going plop, plop, making all these horrible noises, and it went across the highway onto a side road. And I just sat there shaking and shaking and shaking, and finally was able to drive home. And the next day on the news, it said that four men had been on a crime spree across the state of Nebraska, robbing people, beating them senseless. And that night, they had just up the road a half a mile from where I had stopped, where they were coming after me, they stopped at a farm and they beat up an elderly couple, beat them senseless, and stole their car and drove away. And that was what they wanted to do to me, if not worse. I was an 18-year-old little girl.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. My God, you're lucky.
Yep.
Your guardian angel was watching you.
Boy, that's for sure.
And you got to chalk that up as one of your lives gone.
Right.
Okay, but I'm glad you've got seven more now.
Yeah, okay. I wanted to say something else. Daniel, God has given Daniel to us, to the world, as a blessing.
What a wonderful person.
Yeah. He's a gift from God.
Yep, he cares, and that's important.
Yes.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Let's move on to our West of the Rockies line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
How you doing? Mario
doing
from Arizona.
Wonderful. Mario, welcome to the show.
I got a question or a comment and a question.
Okay.
You remember a few years back when Jermaine Jackson, Michael Jackson's brother, was partnered with a guy in a thing with quantum compression, like a scientific thing, and he got lost for some reason, like they couldn't find him. They were going to have some big deal going on, and they couldn't find him, kind of thing.
I don't remember that.
It was like in the early 90s.
Was it some kind of experiment with him?
Well, no. It was they partnered together to start a business, and I don't know if the quantum compression they were doing was with music or with just anything else you know, you understand what quantum compression is, right?
Well, yeah, but who disappeared? The other guy? The partner.
His partner disappeared, and I was just curious if he had heard anything about that after the fact. I mean, this has been years and years ago.
No, honestly, I don't even remember it happening, let alone after the fact. But
that was back in the day when Silicon Valley was like a real big deal, like in the early 90s. And my other thing was, I was going to say, was about, you guys were talking about ghosts earlier. When I was in the Navy and during the first Gulf War, I was stationed in Guam. And in Guam, they had the full World War II battle, right? And there was ghosts on that island, right? Anyways,
supposed to be, sure.
And I worked in a parachute loft, and the floor that we worked on was all concrete, and I'd go there by myself at night and work and sew stuff for my friends, their emblems on their uniforms or whatever, or something for myself, or just go there and do work. And when a rubber boot walks across the concrete floor, it makes a certain sound. And I would go there by myself and lock the doors just because it's just habit. And I'd be sewing and sewing, and all of a sudden I hear just, you know, that sound, and it's like, wow, that's crazy. And when we went, sometimes we get leave, and they would take us to the other islands right around the from Guam, like to Saipan. And on Saipan, like 30,000 Japanese people got killed there, you know, the soldiers. And when we flew there and they dropped us off at the airport, they told us right then and there, the people that, you know, were at the hotel, they told us, this is funny. They told us, if you see something and you don't know what it is, it's a ghost.
They know.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, 30,000 people die on an island in a battle, and they tell you when you get there, if you see something you can't explain it, it's a ghost.
You know, it's like Gettysburg. I mean, you're bound to have ghosts, entities, apparitions wandering around, and I think that's no different. I would guess because of the wars, there must be areas in almost every European country that is haunted or has these kinds of sightings.
You know what? We didn't see that. I mean, when we were on Guam, yeah, you had those feelings. I don't know why, because I think on Guam there was less people killed because it's like 30,000 Japanese killed on Saipan, but it didn't matter. When you went to Saipan, it wasn't like that. But when you come back to Guam, it was like, wow, you know, a lot of people got killed there. But when someone tells you that right from the start, that, hey, if you see something, you don't know what it is, it's a ghost. It's like, okay, you believe in ghosts or you don't. And they just tell you, hey, if you see something, don't freak out.
It's a ghost.
Something that, you know what I mean? It's weird. And I'm not the kind of person that necessarily believes in ghosts, but you know, when someone tells you something, you know, you take it for what it's worth, and why would somebody want to steer you wrong kind of thing, you know what I mean?
Well, you got to believe in ghosts. Why don't you believe in ghosts?
No. I'm not, well, I mean, when I say that, I mean, like, I've never seen one. I've had my friends tell me, like, in the Navy, tell me about stuff in their barracks room. Like, a friend of mine that I lived a couple rooms down, he would tell me that he would wake up because he felt like someone was sitting on his chest and, like, pushing him down, okay? And I've listened to your show a lot, and other people have said different things, and that's like a whole, you know, like something else is doing that to him, and it's a dream or whatever. Yeah, exactly. Like, he told me, he goes, no, I woke up, I felt like someone was pushing me on my chest. It didn't happen in my room, and we lived on the same floor, but he lived at the end of the barracks, and I lived on the other side. I didn't let that kind of stuff bug me. But those people over there, they have all kinds of, you know, like, you know, just weird things that Native Americans have here, but it's not the same. Because, like, we go over there, they have those trees, and you have to ask permission to walk by them. I forget what they were called. And you would have to say grandma or grandpa. That's what they told us to say.
Well, they believe that your spirits have become trees in a lot of cases. Yes.
Right. And you had to ask permission to walk by him or something like that. And you know what? At night when it's dark and I'm walking to my back in the day in 1992 or whatever, I would say that thing, okay? I'm just going to be cool and just go with it. But you know what? I'm not going to, you know what I mean? It's just like, okay, I'll do it when it's dark. Go ahead.
What would you do if a tree reached out and grabbed you?
Oh, I'd probably relieve myself. I would.
All right, thanks. I got to move on. First time caller line. Welcome to Coast. You're on the air. Hi there. Hello.
This is Deb.
Hi, Deb. It's you.
Yeah. Okay. There was a little interference for a minute, and I didn't know if you heard me.
Well,
anyway,
I wanted to tell you about
my husband, who's had a lot of different things happen. So we're pretty convinced he's got like a host of guardian angels.
How many lives has he eaten up?
What's that?
How many lives has he used up?
Well, it's hard to count them because there's so many. But I'll start at the beginning and keep going until you're amazed. And this is all true. I have verified it. When he was 14, he fell out of a 60-foot tree and only broke one rib. And that started it. And then he got into a lot of fights when he was younger and all. But he was a correctional officer, and he was out with a friend at night who was a sheriff in another county, and he got shot in the head.
That's two.
Most people would have died. He was in a coma for 3 months. And when he got out of the coma, they said he'd never walk again, he'd never talk again, and within 6 months, he was doing everything. He was driving, talking, walking, name it.
Is he showing any kind of brain damage at all?
Well, it's like he'd had a mild stroke. He can't use his left hand very well, and he has a little bit of a foot drop when he walks. He falls sometimes because his balance isn't great, but other than that, he's the smartest man I know, and I know a lot, so
he's
pretty
one
smart.
Lucky camper, I'll tell you.
And he's just as funny and warm and wonderful as you could just ever imagine. He's the hardest working man I know. And he went back to work at the correctional facility, and they told him he could have his job back if he'd climb up a – how high was that ladder?
A
45-foot ladder without anybody holding it all the way up to the rafters and back without being able to use his hand really well. And he did it and came back, and the warden said, I wouldn't have even done that. So
I was going to say there were probably some correctional officers who had all the use of their faculties, and they still couldn't
they
do that.
They wouldn't have done that, right. But anyway, he went back to work for 20 more years, and he retired, and now he's working harder than ever. So
all right. So it sounds like he's lost a couple lives. He's got 7 more. You're in good shape with him.
Yeah. He got struck by lightning.
Well, there's
times.
Another one.
He says he's never gotten the lottery yet, so he's due.
Yeah.
And one time, this happened not too long ago, some friends were drilling a new well, and they had taken the well head off the other well. And for some reason, he decided he was going to look in the hole. And it was like a 200-foot deep well, and it was big enough you could fall into. Well, guess what? He fell over it, and they were all over there looking at the other well. And he said he was just about to fall in there, and he figured he'd just about disappear, and nobody would know what happened to him. And he kind of decided to roll off of it, and he was able to get himself off of the well, but he could have easily disappeared down the well.
My God.
Yeah. One time he backed up. This is funny as heck. But anyway, he backed up over a 360-foot roll of fence wire. We have a farm. And he got his truck hooked onto the fence wire. And as he drove down this mile-long dirt road we have, it unrolled completely. So when he gets to the county road, which is paved, he started seeing sparks. It was night, right? And he's a correctional officer, so this was when he was still working. So he thought people were shooting at him for some reason. So he goes faster and faster, and the faster he goes, the
more
faster
sparks are flying.
And he didn't know what was going on. So he gets to the interstate. Now, right down from this county road, there's like a three-lane interstate with all these semis. Four lanes, excuse me, with all these semis driving down the road, and they're usually pretty heavy because we're just south of Atlanta. So he gets on there, and this 360-foot roll of wire, which is now completely unrolled,
is dangling behind
the interstate.
And he can't even hear this?
He couldn't hear it. His hearing is bad, I will say that.
Okay, I guess so.
So this thing skitters across the road. He still doesn't know what's going on, and all these semis are seeing these sparks, but they can't see what it is because it's a roll of wire.
Sure.
And they're all banging their horns and veering off, just kind of veering back and forth, and luckily nobody was hurt. He kind of pulled off to see what in the world was going on and saw the wire, and so he rolled it up and went on to work.
He may be one of the few who might have gone beyond 9 lives.
I think he quite well might have. I mean, one time when I was first dating him, he was out chopping bushes, and he happens to have one of those really hard plastic plates in his head, when he had the gunshot wound, they had to put a piece of plate.
All right, so
over
this is after the fact. Okay.
Right, and so he was out chopping some bushes with a bush axe, and it was real springy, and it came back and hit him on the head, and he had a cut probably about 7 inches long, spurting blood, and I'm a physician assistant. And I was freaking out because I thought he had just cut himself down to the, you know, to the brain, you know. And I got him to the emergency room, and they said that he didn't have anything but a little minor laceration to the scalp. But if he'd had not had a skull plate, that he would have had, it would have gone down to his neck.
What's your husband's name? It's not Lucky, is it, by any chance?
His name is Carl. He is very lucky. And he did get me after all, but you
know. Yeah. Okay, that's the lucky part, because let me tell you something. He's accident prone. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Next up, let's go to our wild card line. You're on the air. Hi there.
Hey, my name is William. I'm calling from Tulsa.
Hi, William. Welcome to the show.
Thanks. Happy Thanksgiving to you.
Thank you.
Hey, I got a story for you. This past summer, well, I want to say June, me and some buddies went camping down in the Kiamichi Mountains in southeast Oklahoma.
Okay.
I don't know if you're familiar with that area.
No, but it's very dark down there.
Yeah. It's actually very wooded and very
deep. Yep, you're right.
We decided we wanted to go, because we've been camping, you know, where there's like camping resorts. You know, there's a lot of people. We said we want to go on the logging roads where there's nobody. You know, so we went way out. We took this guy's Jeep, and we were out there, and we started getting like, when it started to get dark, we started getting this eerie feeling like something was watching us.
Uh-huh.
And, didn't think anything of it. We were drinking, having a good time, and we start hearing like noises in the woods, and we thought there's a lot of wild animals down there, so we didn't really think much of it. Then I went to relieve myself, and this is where it gets pretty spooky. I went out to relieve myself, and standing about 4 feet from me was some sort of, I want to say it looked like an ape, because I've seen apes at the zoo.
A Peeping Tom ape.
I'm talking like 8 foot tall. Massive. I mean, I've never seen anything that big in my life.
I mean, 4 feet away from you?
Yeah, straight up. I mean, I about passed out.
Oh, my God. I mean, how did you get away? What'd you do?
I didn't do nothing. I froze. And it was looking at me, and I was looking at it, and this thing was standing on two legs, straight up. About 8 foot tall, probably weighed about 400, 500 pounds.
Were you still relieving yourself?
I don't even know at that point. I was so scared. I mean, the hairs on the back of my neck were standing up. This thing could have reached out and just knocked my head off if it wanted to. I never really thought about Bigfoot, but I'll tell you what, Bigfoot is alive and well.
Well, now, between the 4 foot distance, what happened? Where'd it go?
Nothing. It just like, it stood there for a minute. It looked at me, and then it kind of gave like a, you know, like a bull does a grunt.
Yeah.
It did some kind of deep grunt like a bull, and I just took off running, and it went the other way.
And it went the other way. Well, he probably was just as scared as you were of him, especially doing what you were doing. I'll be back. One more hour to go of open lines right here on Coast to Coast AM.